Hello. Welcome to our CMD Bite Size series. In these podcasts, we will be exploring a range of ministry and theological issues. For today's podcast, I'm joined by Matt Smith, who is the Policy and Development Officer for Traveller Space. Traveller Space is a registered charity supporting gypsies, Irish travellers and new travellers in Cornwall and Devon. Welcome, Matt, and thank you for joining me today. Could you begin by telling me a bit about what Traveller Space does as a charity and what your role is within that, please?
Yeah, so Traveller Space, we're a charity working in Cornwall and Devon supporting gypsies and travellers across the board. So we started about in July 2002, we started off running a summer play scheme on a few unauthorised sites down in Cornwall. And then over the years we've developed, we now run the Tuluva Centre in St Dave, which is a former children's centre that's used pretty well as the de facto community centre for the nearby gypsy site. We've got a play bus that goes out to see lots of people. A lot of people just living by the sides of the road. We do a lot of work around planning. We do a lot of casework. We try to help out wherever we can, really.
Great. It's amazing to see how it's grown in a fairly short period of time to being starting off just as a summer play scheme to something that's quite permanent and there all the time.
Yeah. There's been a lot of steps along the way and we've had to learn on our feet as we've gone along.
Yeah, that's interesting. So can you tell me about some of the challenges faced by people who identify as being gypsies, Irish travellers and new travellers?
Well, the single biggest challenges that gypsies and travellers face is people's misunderstanding, misconceptions about who they are, and outright racism, I suppose, which kind of underpins everything. It's a daily occurrence for a lot of people. Every time they walk out of where they live, they will face small microaggressions, people judging them on not who they are, but who people think they are.
Yeah, that must be really hard and traumatising for the whole community, actually. So I guess that there are lots of prejudices held against this group of people. Can you tell me a bit about those prejudices and the impact that it has on living with those in the community?
Yeah, so when gypsies first arrived in this country in the 16th century, almost straight away there was anti-gypsy laws passed, and it's travelling with them. They're right from day one, they've been set as something separate from mainstream culture, mainstream society. And this goes really, really deep. People's prejudice against gypsies and travellers. And it affects almost every aspect of gypsy and traveller lives, really. It affects from people just going into their local takeaway to get some food and being told they have to pay up front, to not being allowed in pubs, to going to school, seeing their children treated differently from the other children, and that has an effect on education. People pull their children out of schools because of the bullying. So really, it underpins everything that goes on.
And you mentioned about the laws around gypsy and travellers, and that when they first came to the UK, there were laws kind of preventing people from associating with them, making it illegal. We've seen the law change quite recently around trespassing. How has that impacted gypsy and traveller communities?
The majority of gypsies and travellers, 80% of gypsies and travellers, actually live in bricks and mortar accommodation. And they still remain gypsies and travellers just because they're, even if they're living in a house, it's not defined by being nomadic, being a gypsy and traveller. So there's only actually quite a small percentage of gypsy and travellers who are on the road. Some people go on the road in the summer, will leave a permanent site and go and travel in the summer. For a few people, they're living on the road all the time. Particularly for those people, the new laws make life even harder, really, because under the Police Act, you can now have your home removed from you if the police decide to, effectively. In practice, the police haven't actually used those powers. But because of the shortage of sites, people end up living on other people's land because there isn't anywhere else to go. They can now be evicted from there very, very quickly. If they fail to go from that piece of land, they can be arrested. If they return to the piece of land, they can be have their homes confiscated, and ultimately they can go to prison. So obviously this has been very worrying times for gypsies and travellers. There are legal challenges going on at the moment to those new laws. We remain to see what happens with them.
Sure. And you said there that there's only a small minority of gypsy and traveller communities that are actually on the road or nomadic. Can you tell me a bit about what's the distinctive culture of gypsy and traveller communities?
Well, first of all, there isn't just one culture. You're talking about lots of different cultures, lots of different communities. So I'll talk about Cornwall. In Cornwall, we have Romany gypsies who, as I said, were originated in India. About 1,000 years ago, left North India, travelled throughout the world, ending up in this country in about the 16th century. Now, Romany gypsies have their own language, Romany. They have their own customs, traditions, some of which go back 1,000 years. And then you have Irish travellers. A lot of Irish travellers are actually born and brought up in England now, but originated in Ireland many, many, many centuries ago, went on the road. You also have new travellers who are people who maybe have come from a settled background and gone on the road. But again, we now have a fourth generation of new travellers who have been born and brought up and have no other life.
Yeah, that's helpful just to set out. I'm sure there are, it's easy to group people together, and it's important to recognise the very different things that mean different things to those communities as well. So thank you for outlining the groups that we have, particularly in Cornwall. I was wondering, are there particular myths or inaccuracies that you'd like to dispel about the communities that you come into contact with? I mean, we've seen lots of stuff in the media about gypsies, and I was thinking particularly about the Channel 4 programme of My Big Yep. Fat Gypsy Wedding and those sorts of things. I'm guessing that they don't do these communities any favours in terms of people's perception of them. So were there particular myths that you think would be helpful to dispel?
There's all sorts of myths built up around gypsies and travellers over the years. There's My Big Fat Gypsy Wedding and the programmes, the series of programmes that followed, created a whole new load of myths. Now every gypsy or traveller has a big wedding and wears a big dress and all this. Those programmes actually looked at a very, very small community of people who wanted to show off on television, really. So they've added a whole new layer of myths. There's all sorts of things said about gypsies and travellers which simply aren't true.
Is there anything in particular that you would...
Well, the myth that all gypsies and travellers are the same is one, that they are all just one community, because, as I said earlier, there is different groups with completely different histories and backgrounds. Within those groups, there's different groupings. Within those, there's different families. And within the families, there's individuals. So it's the biggest myth, I suppose, is that everyone's the same. Every gypsy you meet is going to be the same as the one that you saw on the television or the one that you saw pull up in the field next to you the other month. And they're not. They're different people. They're all individuals.
Yeah. And you mentioned there about families. I think family is very important in these cultures. Can you tell me a bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, family is central, certainly to gypsy and Irish traveller life. It's and to new traveller life, which is chosen family, even if it's not the family you've been born into. So for gypsies, we'll usually live with their extended family. All the things that we do, we expect grannies to come along with grandchildren, with other children, with their own children. It's usual for families to be big families. Irish and gypsy travellers often have a lot of children and are multi-generational. And that's central to everything. Family is the most important thing, really. If something happens, if a family member goes to hospital, then you'd expect the whole family will be there to support and to help out. They won't be on their own.
Yeah, and so I guess from that respect, there's some important things that we could learn from some of these cultures around valuing family, which perhaps we maybe don't do so well in Western society. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think so, very much so. I mean, one thing that I've seen time and time again is even when families have been feuding, not getting on with each other or falling out, if something happens, there's a baby born, there's a death in the family, everyone pulls together. problems are set aside. While that's being dealt with, there's a baby born, everyone will come to help make sure the trailers are sorted out, make sure that the mother's okay. The whole family will support, even if the day before they might have been fighting like cats and dogs, which I think is great, because they know that at the end of the day, that's the important thing.
Yeah, there's a really good support network there, isn't there, for people that might be feeling vulnerable at a particular time in their life. To know that they've got that wider support network is really valuable, I guess.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And you know that somebody's got your back. And that goes really, travellers will stick together when it really comes to it. They might be fighting, arguing amongst themselves, but when it really comes down to it, they will stick together and support each other.
Is there a particular story or anecdote in doing the work that you do that has really struck you about the communities you're working with?
A lot of stuff around how people come together, I suppose. I can remember when there was a very sad death of a young gypsy lad, and I watched people come from all over the country. We opened up our centre and we did all the flowers for the funeral there. We made lots of, he was a gay lad and they wanted to make gay pride flags to line the fruit of the funeral, and we made all that at the centre with all sorts of people coming down and just giving a hand, really. And I just saw the amount of love, even though they might have not agreed with his sexuality and things, they still came together to support the family in that incident. And I learned a lot from that, really, about people setting aside their differences and working together, because I recognised that it was a really hard time and there were people who really needed to know that they had people around them at that moment.
Yeah, and that's really important for society today, actually, as we see lots of stuff in politics at the moment about groups becoming polarised and identifying difference. But to recognise that in some of those communities, really, that actually there's things that go deeper than difference that are more important is a really valuable lesson for all of us, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I mean, the other thing that I've learned from spending a lot of time around gypsies is the art of living in the moment, really, of not hanging on to things in the past and not worrying about things in the future, but just living for what's going on now. I've seen terrible things happen. People's whole trailers burned down with all their possessions, and the next day they're laughing, and obviously it has affected them. It's affected them deeply. But they kind of get over it and get on with their lives and get on with the next day.
Yeah, and that must be so hard for people. And you've talked a lot about the trauma that they face, not only on a day-to-day basis, with just their engagement with things that perhaps many of us just take for granted. We wouldn't even think that we'd be discriminated in that sense of going to the shop or of going out for a meal or going to school. And some of that inherited trauma must have a really deep impact on some of those communities.
Yeah, I mean, I think it does. I always remember a gypsy mother saying to me, sometimes she wanted to be seen as a mother first before being seen as a gypsy. Everyone saw the gypsy, they didn't see her just as a mother who was worried about her children. It is traumatic, and that does affect people. It makes people act very defensively. It makes people hyper-vigilant. That's one thing, always looking for the next conflict, next confrontation, because you've been brought up expecting that. Because that's been your experience. That everyone you meet who's not from the traveller background is quite likely to be hostile to you, even if they don't show it on the surface. They might be polite, but people can tell. When you're in a state of hypervigilance in that way, it becomes really obvious, really, how people are from their body language, how they're speaking to you, how they're looking at you. People can tell.
Yeah, I'm sure. And is there something that you would like to encourage people to think about the way they respond to people with difference, about how we might do that better? Not necessarily focusing on gypsy and traveller communities, but on any communities of difference where we come across that.
Yeah, treat people to who they are, not to who you think they are, and listen to them. Most people will really happily chat about their culture, explain differences and things, if they're asked politely, if they're not interrogated about it. One of the things that somebody said to us very early on when we were started doing stuff at the Tuluva Centre, well, before it was the Tuluva Centre, was, well, the reason why we come here is because you don't judge us. And I think that must be the story, really. Don't judge.
Yeah, and I guess that's something that's so easy for all of us to do in our everyday lives. So I appreciate that Traveller Space covers Cornwall and Devon, but as we're based in Cornwall, are there specific actions that you think that need to be taken to better care for this community within Cornwall?
Yeah, I mean, one of the first things is, it's always an issue for gypsies and travellers is accommodation, is make sure everyone has a safe, decent place to stop, whether that's stop temporarily because they're just moving through Cornwall or to set up home and live. At the moment, there's a shortage of sites. In Cornwall, we have three sites run by Cornwall Council through Cornwall Housing. We have a transit site where people can stay for about up to 3 months a year. And we have in the region of 200 privately owned pitches. Privately owned pitches where people have bought their own land and got planning permission. However, there's still people living on the road. There's the sites that are there are overcrowded. The local authority sites are in, some of them are in a pretty terrible condition, really, and well overdue being refurbished. So make sure everyone has a place they can live and not have to worry about that, I would say, is the number one issue facing gypsies and travellers in this country. And it's one that Traveller Space has done a lot of work on over the years with the Gypsy and Traveller Accommodation Assessments for the council and through supporting people to get planning permission, because that's quite a hard job if you're a gypsy or traveller to get planning. But even if you can afford your own land, there's still a need for socially rented pitches in the same ways there's still a need for socially rented bricks and mortar accommodation.
Sure, absolutely. So if people wanted to find out more about the work of Traveller Space, I guess they could visit your website. Is there anything else around?
Have a look at our website. We're on social media. We're on X, Twitter, Blue Sky. We have a Facebook group and we have our website. And we also have to say, we run an open day once a year at the Tuluva Centre in July. Off the top of my head, 17th of July, it might be the 15th, I'm not sure, it's a Wednesday. Anyway, and we have an open day when we show everyone what everyone's been up to at the Tuluva Centre, what we've been up to. And everyone's welcome to come along there and meet us and have a pasty.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much. That's been really helpful. And thank you for sharing some of your insights into the community that you've been working with. And being so open and honest about the challenges and prejudices that they face. And I hope that from this, we can all be a bit better prepared to think about difference and not to judge people on what we perceive people to be like. So thank you very much for your wisdom on that.
Well, thank you very much for asking me to speak.
You've been listening to CMD Bite Size Podcasts, produced by the Diocese of Truro. If you've enjoyed this episode, please do follow and share. To listen to similar podcasts, please visit the Truro Diocese website. If there is a subject you would like us to include, please email us at ministry@truro.anglican.org.